I'd like to welcome everybody to Country Bible Church tonight. We made it through another day with a little bit of rain. We're happy for that. At least some of us got rain. I got rain. So we want to go ahead and take just a couple minutes to name the God the Father any unconfessed sins, which ensures the filling of the Holy Spirit. And we'll do that now. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, as we come into your house once again to explore your word, Father, just we pray that we would be able to take the nuggets out of what we can find out of your scripture and be able to explain it and exegete the scripture so that we can learn more about you. Father, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so we're continuing tonight in our lesson 11 in Titus. We're going to start in Titus 2:3. We have a new verse tonight. The topic being the responsibilities of the older women. Last week we talked about the responsibilities of the older men, and now it's the women's turn. So we are moving on to the women. So, I know you're excited about that. You are? Okay. Titus 2:3 says, "Older women likewise are to be reverent in their behavior, not malicious gossips, nor enslaved to too much wine, teaching what is good." So how are women to be reverent with their behavior? That's the first question we need to ask here. Let me get this notes going here for you. Okay, so a reverent person lives in humble and grateful awareness of God's presence and power, trusting Him even through difficult situations. When God's word is disrespected in a society, the basis for honoring God, people, and property is lost. So the opposite of reverence is actually disrespect. The Greek word for reverent is hieropreppis. That is hieropreppis. Hieropreppis. Now the meaning of the word, when you break this word down, is priest-like. So a woman is to be priest-like. So the root word, hieros, means sacred, being a temple, and prepo means to be clearly seen or to resemble that which is sacred to God. So when you put the two words together, it is priest-like. They are to act as would a priest. On one of the other lessons that we learned on the men, it was the women were to do the things that the men were the actual example for. So if you were a deacon, if you were a pastor, then the congregation, and in this case women, were to follow that role. So they are to have the same respect, be reverent in the same way as a prepared deacon or pastor would that was prepared to actually be in the church. Now the word older women, the word is presbutis. Again, it's not presbuteros, which was the elder for the pastor teacher. And it's not the word that we use for the older men. The presbutis is the older women. So Titus was teaching the older women to behave reverently in a way that's suitable to sound doctrine. They were not to be slanderers. They were not to be addicted to wine. They weren't to be gossips. Both were real possibilities for women whose families were grown and who may have had little time or more idle time because they didn't have young children at home. They would have more idle time to actually gossip or even sip a little too much wine. So these were two of the bigger issues that they had with women in the early church. So Titus was to encourage these older women to develop a ministry of teaching the younger women what was good. Younger women with children were to keep their primary focus as mothers at home, but the older women would reach outside their own homes to teach the younger women the things that they needed to know. There are a lot of things that a young mother or a young woman needs to know, and they would go to the elderly women or the older women to actually inquire from her or to learn from her. So as we get older, young women are supposed to be homemakers. They're supposed to take care of the families. They're supposed to take care of the children. But as they get older and the children move out of the house, they've grown up, they've moved off, and it leaves the older women empty nesting. It leaves them in a situation to where they don't now have the kids to tend to. That was their life. They were completely absorbed with taking care of the children, getting them off to school, making sure they had their lunches, making sure they learned everything they needed to know. And now that they're older, those children are gone. And so the older women have way more idle time on their hands. So what Paul is saying here is to utilize your skills that you've learned as an older woman to teach the younger women what they need to know. They're supposed to raise their families. They're supposed to bring their kids up. You can be a great asset to that younger girl. So when people talk about their mother or father, it's generally their mother that they remember. When they look back and they think about mom, she was the one that raised them. She's the one that made sure they went to school. She's the one that disciplined them when they need the discipline. She's the one that was there for them to deal with through all their circumstances, all their problems that they brought home from school or from wherever. So they have a high respect for their mother, and as she ages out, as she gets older than the childbearing age, she's always respected through the rest of her life. She will be the respected. As she gets to be the elderly woman in the family, the matriarch, she becomes the one that they all look to for their knowledge. First Timothy 3:8 said, "And in the same way the deacons must be those who are pure and true to their word, not addicted to wine or with greedy eyes on the contributions." This verse, we're talking about deacons. For you deacons out there, we're talking about deacons here in 1 Timothy. But when you read down a little farther in Timothy, to Timothy 3:11, verse 11, it's about an example that the deacons set and the women follow. So the deacons set the precedence and the women follow. This verse, there are many people that believe that this particular verse is speaking especially of pastors' wives and deacons' wives, because it is calling them out whenever it's talking about pastor teachers and it's talking about deacons, two different bodies that has a role to fill in the church. They have to have a certain characteristic to carry out that role, and this characteristic that the deacons have is the same thing that the example is being led to the older women. So the very same things that a deacon would recognize here is for the pastor's wives. It's for the deacon's wives. It's also for elderly women. Here's that verse. Women must likewise be dignified. Not malicious gossips, but temperate. You remember? The men were also to be temperate. The elderly men were to be temperate. The elderly women are also to be temperate in their behavior and faithful in all things. So, this verse comes from the New American Standard Bible. There are three or four different ways the different interpretations read this. And in my opinion, the New American Standard Bible was the one that clearly depicted this. So we use the New American Standard Bible in this lesson. So when we talk about dignified, women must likewise be dignified. Dignified, the word is semnos. It is S-E-M-N-O-S, and it means worthy of respect, honor, noble, dignified, and serious. So women must likewise be worthy of respect, honor, noble, dignified, and serious. It specifically in 1 Timothy 3:11 says likewise. So it's not that they were a side thought. He was speaking directly to elderly women in this verse. He was specifically saying likewise. And when you look up likewise, it's referring to a particular person he's talking to. So he's talking to these women. Not malicious gossips. When you look up malicious gossips in the Greek, you're not going to find gossip, but you do find malicious. And if you look up malicious, the word is diabolos, which means the devil. So when it speaks of not malicious gossiping, it's talking about talk like Satan would have. It says, the chief slanderer and the father of lies, the devil. The reference of the devil is as an enemy to God. It pertains to the engagement in slander or slanderous talk. So malicious gossips is not just as simple as just talking, but it's looked at as such evil that the devil, the chief slanderer and the father of lies, talks, double talks, talks behind people's back, has destructive behavior from the gossip, from the talk. That's what this is talking about, being malicious gossips. In churches, it's easy to have someone start a gossip, something that they've heard, and they bring it up, and it spreads around, and it can get very malicious. It can be very bad in a church. It's actually counterproductive for anyone wanting to learn to obey God. It's counterproductive for a woman to do this. Next word we have is faithful in all things. That is pistos, means faith. And in this particular case, faithful, pertaining to being worthy of belief or trust. Faithful, dependable, inspiring trust, faith in all things. And that's P-I-S-T-O-S, pistos. Women whose desire concerning the details of life commemorate with their advancing years. An elderly lady cannot and should not compete with the physical beauty of youth. Now, a lot of times you'll see older women that will try to dress a little sexier. You'll see them, you know, maybe a little lower cut in the front or wearing something a little more revealing. You may see them be a little bit more provocative in the clothing that they wear. But as a woman gets older, she should have, you know, more of the respect of herself. She doesn't need to do that. She's not competing with the beauty of a young girl. That's all the girl has going for her at a young age. She has her beauty, she has her youth, but as a woman gets older, she has much more in wisdom and the things she can actually teach to those younger women. Proverbs 11:22 says, "As a ring of gold in a swine's snout, so is a beautiful woman who lacks discretion." So we have plenty of beautiful older women, but if they adorn themselves so much that they're trying to compete with the youth of a younger girl, this is a reference, and it's a reference of saying, you can dress up a pig, but it's still a pig. This was a derogatory scripture in Proverbs to paint the picture that a beautiful older woman doesn't need those things in order to be respected, to be reverent, to be looked up to. These are things that she's trying to compete with youth. She's trying to compete with beauty. And although she may physically be beautiful outside as an older woman, it's the things that she brings to the table on the inside that's most important here, not about her physicality or her looks or her sexuality. That's not what's most important here for this woman at this time of her life. The example in Proverbs shows a woman that's clinging to her beauty from youth by trying to adorn herself with jewelry or clothing that emphasizes youth. The things like romance, sex, and beauty are not her primary emphasis. These are the things that the world emphasizes for women. The teaching of young women and of children is significantly more important. Also, women were created to be the helpmate to her husband. So she has more to offer being a helpmate to her husband and teaching of the children and the young women than she does out there trying to get people to look at her and pay attention to her because she's beautiful. Point D, if a woman can find out that what is in her soul is far more important than what her face and body look like, she will realize a fantastic old age. A twinkle in the eye and a smile on her face. Point E, the beauty of her soul more than makes up for the lack of beauty in the face and the body. A child will always remember their mother when realizing their character. Mothers are the primary teachers to the children, and she bears the suffering of childbirth and has a special connection to that child throughout the child's entire life. The problems of old age. Now, we have old age, whether it's a man or a woman that we're talking about tonight, this goes both ways. The problems of old age aren't specific to women alone. Men have problems with old age too. We just have a little bit different problems than women do. And in this lesson, we're talking about the women, so we're going to talk about those. So old age is the best time of life. Although we start to have significant health problems, God has a plan for old age. And I have marked down there Psalms 71, 9 through 18. Let's go there and read that. Psalm 71, 9 through 18. All right, starting with verse 9. Do not cast me off in the time of old age. Do not forsake me when my strength fails. For my enemies have spoken against me, and those who watch for my life have consulted together, saying, God has forsaken him. Pursue and seize him, for there is no one to deliver. O God, do not be far from me. O my God, hasten to my help. Let those who are adversaries of my soul be ashamed and consumed. Let them be covered with reproach and dishonor who seek to injure me. But as for me, I will hope continually, and I will praise you yet more and more. My mouth shall tell of your righteousness and of your salvation all day long, for I do not know the sum of them. I will come with the mighty deeds of the Lord God. I will make mention of your righteousness, yours alone. O God, you have taught me from my youth, and I still declare your wondrous deeds. And even when I am old and gray, O God, do not forsake me until I declare your strength to this generation, your power to all who are to come. Okay, so we're talking about a poem there that's talking about an aged person. And we have problems that come along in our life, but those problems are not the end all. As we get older, God still uses older men and older women, but His purpose for using us is to share His Word throughout our life. As we grow spiritually, it's our job to teach the younger. It's our job to take the doctrine that we've taken in and share with the ones that don't have as much doctrine. It's our job as older people to do that. So here are a couple of the problems that we see in old age. So we have a lack of mental sharpness. I know that's true. We have a lack of mental sharpness. As we get a little bit older, it's a little bit harder to be sharp and right on target on things as they come. We're just not as quick with it. Disorientation to life from the standpoint of success standards, not realizing your dreams of success. Well, we get a little bit older and sometimes we look back and we think, well, I never really accomplished X, Y, or Z. I always thought by this time in my life I would have accomplished this. I would have made this much money. I would have accomplished whatever it may be. You can put whatever you want behind that, but there's a relevance to us looking at the standpoints of success in life at an older age where we question whether we actually realized our dreams of success or not. Usually that has to do with money, status, or fame even. Point three, old age brings on an increase of mental attitude sins, especially vindictiveness and bitterness. Why would old age bring on an increase of mental attitude sins? Well, because we have more idle time on our hands. If we have more idle time on our hands, it causes us to potentially gossip or to think about things that we shouldn't be thinking about if we're not focusing our attention on the Word of God, then it can actually make us become vindictive or bitter because of our circumstances and our decisions that we've made in life and where we are in life. Old age brings on a lack of security. As we get a little older, we don't have the income that we once had. We may be on Social Security. We may be on disability, but nevertheless, we're not making the top wages that we might have made in our youth. So as we get older, we have to learn to do with less on many occasions, unless you've had a very successful younger age and you put aside money to be able to sustain you through your older years. The retirement that they set up nowadays doesn't cover most people. When you get your retirement at the end of a full career and it doesn't last 10 years maybe, at the end of that, what do you do? And I know this is a different situation for every single person. Some people have done very well in retirement, and some people will never have to worry about it. But for the most part, old age brings the lack of security of not having the things that we had when we had youth. The inability to concentrate. Inability to concentrate could be attributed to many different things. It could have anything to do with starting to have diseases of the mind and things like that, to where our cognitive ability has been hindered. Even in his recent years now, COVID has taken the concentration from some of the elderly people we have in this church, that's made it very difficult for them to function because of COVID. COVID actually made it, whatever happened to them in their going through their COVID has made them unable to concentrate. Point six, too much time for complaining, often due to unemployment, lack of a hobby, etc. So when we have idle time on our hands and we don't have a job, we don't have a hobby, we have nothing to involve our minds, it tends to take us places where we don't need to be. Sometimes just the open thought that we have, just idle thought, can actually allow you to sit and think yourself into a miserable situation. Takes longer to make decisions. I think that goes along with the cognitive ability. But we're not as quick in making decisions. Number eight, old age is often out of contact with the younger generation, which can lead to hypercriticism. We get a new phone. We get new technology. Technology keeps on going. And we're sitting back with our old technology, and for us to change is difficult. We're out of touch with the younger generation that runs around with the newest iPhones and the newest whatever charger and whatever electronic thing that they have. It can make us feel like we're completely out of touch because the technology has superseded us in our age. We may not even know how to stream online. We may not be able to know how to function on our phone without being a simple phone. A lot of people of an older age grew up without a computer and have had to learn how to use a computer later in life. I know my parents, both of them grew up without computers, and my father never wanted to attempt it. He was not interested in it, and he never did. My mother, she taught herself how to do it. She learned. She got on the computer. Now she can function with a computer. Not that she knows everything about technology, because technology continues to go on. So if you're not on technology, it can bypass you. And in the older generation, you can feel like it's bypassed you and you don't know how to deal with that. Proverbs 16:31 says, a gray head is a crown of glory. It is found in the way of righteousness. A gray head is a crown of glory. Why is that? Why is it that when we get silver or gray haired, that it's a crown of glory? Because I'm growing my crown in now, so, you know. So as a gray head or a silver head is a crown of glory, it's because of the wisdom that we have in our soul. We've learned more in our older age than the youth have. And in many ways, the youth have advantages over technology and over beauty and over energy and things like that. But they can't stand up to an older person and their knowledge. That's evident when we go to vote. The young people, they're nutso. They have no idea. They don't understand history. We've lived the history, so we've seen it. We're able to share things with them that they can't understand because they didn't live it. We live through it, and you cannot tell us anything different because we live through it. You're not going to lie to us or some professor in a college to tell you something that we know is not true because we live through it. That lie is not going to work with an older person. But with the younger people that are misinformed, it's easy to bypass things and get the young people to thinking the current trend that's going is the smartest thing out there. We see that with transsexual behavior and what have you. They think that they're really doing something. They think that green energy is really doing something. And they think they're really, like they really have it all figured out. It's us dinosaurs that are dumb. We don't know anything. We're just old. But we have wisdom. We have the crown of glory because we have wisdom. And they will eventually come around and things will start breaking down in their body and their youth will start fading away and they will eventually get to where we are and they'll look back and think, I was really stupid back then. Because I know I can do that now. I can think how dumb of the things I've done whenever I was young. Isaiah 46:4 says, even in your old age, I, speaking of God, will be the same. And even to your graying years, I will bear you. I have done it, and I will carry you, and I will bear you, and I will deliver you. That's a really wonderful verse. God telling you just because you're older does not mean that you don't have purpose. God is going to be with us. It's going to help us through. And where we lack in health and where we lack in other areas, He's going to bear and carry us through that situation. He is going to deliver us from those that persecute us just because of our age. So old age is common for males and females, but there are three particular problems mentioned in this verse. One is behavior, one is sins of the tongue, and one with alcoholism. And these are specific to women in this verse. So behavior refers to the way she lives her outward life that reflects her inner life. A conduct that is godly in all respects, where action clearly flows from a life that desires to live for God. The older woman sees all of life from God's viewpoint and understands that even the mundane routines of life are important to God. Her lifestyle tells a watchful observer where her priorities are. In other words, she's going to tell people about God. Why does she trust God? She's going to share that knowledge that she has with those that don't know. The outward observer can watch her walk through her day in order to see what is next in God's heart. Next to God's heart. Her life revolves around things that matter to Him. She is a challenging, sharpening example to the younger women and the younger men, the children, and to other women and to young women. This older woman may not naturally just possess this quality. She must grow spiritually by taking in Bible doctrine. So there are two principles that this woman applies. God's Word is the source of truth and power, and that is where she draws her knowledge from. And God deserves first place in her life. Women that put God first place in their life, He is their first love and their first priority. Now, she may have a man in her life, but she should look to God for her first love. There's a couple principles here that we're going to explain. In principle one, God's Word is the source of truth and power. The Word of God is the foundation for all Christian growth. The woman who is reverent in her behavior consistently spends time studying God's Word, the source of truth and power. In order to stay in fellowship with the Father, she understands that the Word of God is the foundation for understanding God's character, His will, and what pleases Him. So we study the Bible to receive guidance from God. This godly woman, a reverent woman, will study the Bible to get her knowledge. Psalm 119:105 says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." The Bible equips her to do good work. Second Timothy 3:16 through 17 says, "All Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work." God's Word reveals what's in our hearts. So, if God's Scripture is inspired for our teaching, our reproof, and correction, and she's training in righteousness by reading God's Word, this is to equip her in her life so that she knows how to live a godly life. God reveals His Word in our hearts because of the knowledge that she has, the doctrine. Hebrews 4:12, "For the Word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and fabled to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart." God approves of those who diligently learn His Word. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, "Be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the Word of truth." So when we take in God's Word, it's how we accurately handle the Word. How do we apply the doctrine that we take in? And when we do that, the reverent woman can actually share it with other people. That is her goal in her older life, is to teach other people. Therefore, the reverent woman fears God, walking by faith and obedience to God's truth, the Bible. It is impossible to be a woman who is reverent in her behavior without the foundation of God's Word and without a choice to obey God by faith. Over time, the woman who consistently responds in obedience to God's principles will become a mature believer. A mature woman possesses a God consciousness that influences her daily regime or regimen. She evaluates every thought, every action, and encounter by the standard of the Bible. In other words, she has divine doctrine. She's getting her doctrine from the Word of God. It's divine. It's coming straight from God. So truth lights her path so that she can choose obedient behavior, which is an outward expression of a heart that knows and communes with the Father. She has a familiarity with God because she studies His Word, and she is going to be an example to the family that she's raised, to her kids, to all the younger women. She becomes an example of her faith in the way that she's taken in the Word of God and she's applied it to her life. Romans 10:17 says, "So faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the Word of Christ." So fearing God is the starting point for wisdom or truth applied. Proverbs 9:10 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding." So faith is required to please God. Hebrews 11:6, and without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who seek Him. So we bring our thoughts into conformity with God's Word to think accurately about Him and obey Him. So without faith, it's impossible to please Him. How will we know how to please God if we don't learn about Him first? And it says He is a rewarder of those who seek Him. So if you seek Him, He will reward you. He will bless you when you seek Him out and learn His Word. 2 Corinthians 10:5 says, we are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God, and we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. We are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God. So we are to reprove the Scripture. We're to stand up for the things that are correct and correct them whenever they're wrong. But like we talked about a few nights ago, when you confront somebody, it's not a confrontation. It's not an argument. It's a conversation. So you can't force somebody to think or believe what you do, but you can take every thought of your own captive and you can obey Christ and you can set an example that they can see in you. And if they really want to know what's different in you, you can explain that to them, but just not argue that point with them. If they're going to argue a point with them, they're just trying to win a war, and you should just excuse yourself from the conversation. At that point, your testimony of how you live your life is actually a better witness to that person than actually trying to tell them when they won't listen. They have closed mind, closed ears, and closed eyes. They don't want to talk about God, and you're not going to change their mind. Only thing that will change their mind is when they see Christ in you and the way that you live your life. If you're a godly woman, a godly man, living your life for Christ, you become a testimony to the world in the way that you live. So healthy faith produces godly living. James 1:22 says, but prove yourselves doers of the word and not merely hearers who delude themselves. So when we talk about James here, a lot of people get off on James and they think this is saying that you have to do works for salvation, but he's not talking about salvation here. He's talking about your sanctification process. He's talking about after you become a believer, we want to continue to obey God. We want to live a godly life. We want to conform to becoming a mature believer. So the things that we're doing is not justifying us. It's just that as we grow spiritually, it draws us closer to God and helps us to become more mature believers as we try to become like Christ. So it's not about you doing any kind of works or anything that you do that's going to present you higher up a scale somewhere. It's just about your spiritual maturity and elevating you to the point where you can grow spiritually mature. So truth is the starting point. Obedience in response to God's Word is the faith in action. Here's the second principle. God deserves first place in our life. He should be our first love. A woman who is reverent in her behavior is passionately in love with her Savior. He has first place in her heart. Her reverence of God-fearing flows from a cultivated heart life with the Father. So as she becomes a mature believer, she looks to the Lord. If she's married, she still falls under the authority of her husband, but first and foremost, she looks to God. She is under her husband's authority, but looking to God and the things that she should do spiritually. She loves the truth of the Bible, which leads her into intimate communication with the Father. She understands who God is and desires to keep the fine edge of her walk with God sharply honed. All right, I got something chasing me here. So God must have first place in our life. And that's whether you're a man or a woman, God should be first place in our life. If we put God first place in our life and then our spouse second, God will bless that relationship. He will make sure that we have what we need, how we need to grow spiritually. He will bless you with that hierarchy of putting Him first. But you don't want to put somebody over God. God should be the number one in your life. Exodus 23 says, "You shall have no other gods before me." God must be our first love. Revelation 2:4 says, "But I have this against you, that you have left your first love." Well, they obviously didn't put God first here, right? If you've left your first love, you are not putting God first in your life. And God holds that against you. Godliness requires discipline, and God will discipline us to bring us back to making Him the number one in our lives. 1 Timothy 4:7 through 8 says, "But have nothing to do with worldly fables, fit only for old women. On the other hand, discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness. For bodily discipline is only of little profit, but godliness is profitable for all things." So since she's supposed to be faithful in all things, she's doing that because of her godliness. She's trying to be a godly woman by following the Word of God that tells her what she needs to do, since it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. So we talked a little bit about joy on Sunday. And when we experience joy in our lives because of circumstances that we're going through, we have a hope that we look forward to. So the hope that we look forward to is what the godly man and woman should look to for God. It's that hope that we have in Christ that we look forward to. Now, there are three main fables or deceptions today that are leading people away from Jesus Christ and their salvation and their hope. The first is the false teaching that all paths lead to God. All paths do not lead to God. The only path that leads to God is through Jesus Christ. So if you believe that you can get to heaven by works or any other gods, any other going to church, it doesn't matter. The only way that you can end up in heaven is if you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, by believing the work that He's done for you. He gave us a free gift, and if we accept that gift, then we'll be in heaven. So all paths do not lead to God. The second deceptive false teaching is a big one, and that's work-based salvation. So if you think that you are going to be saved because you are a good person, that is the world deceiving you. Satan is deceiving you. That is not going to happen. Your works do nothing. They're of a filthy rag, according to God. You're not going to get anywhere on your own good. Matter of fact, anybody that thinks that they can work their way to heaven That person is going to actually stand before God one day, and he's going to try to justify that he's able to have eternity with God because of all the good things he did in his life. And God is going to say, "Depart from me, I never knew you." God had no relationship with that person. God didn't personally know that person. That person did not accept the one and only way to receive their salvation, and that's through Jesus Christ. Number three, one of the greatest deceptions of this time goes along with what Peter said in 2 Peter 3 about scoffers who say that Jesus isn't really returning. So today, we're looking for the rapture to happen. And there are scoffers, there are people that say, there's not a rapture. He's not coming back for you. Matter of fact, why are you a Christian? Why do you believe this stuff? It's a fairy tale. These are scoffers. And these scoffers say that Jesus isn't really returning. They don't even believe Jesus is the Messiah. 2 Peter 3, 3-9 says, "Know this, first of all, that in the last days mockers will come with their mocking, following after their own lusts, and saying, 'Where is the promise of His coming?' For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all continues just as it was from the beginning of creation. For when they maintain this, it escapes their notice that by the word of God, the heavens existed long ago, and the earth was formed out of water and by water, through which the world at that time was destroyed, being flooded with water. But by His word, the present heavens and earth are being reserved for fire, kept for the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men." So this is where those unbelievers will stand up and tell God that they've done good works and they should be in eternity with Him because of they're a good person. They've done all these great things. Verse 8 says, "But do not let this one fact escape your notice. Beloved, that with the Lord one day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years like one day. The Lord is not slow about His promise, as some count slowness." In other words, these scoffers are asking, you know, "When's your Jesus coming?" They may look and think that God's not coming, or He's just taking His time and it'll be one day. Not even sure whether He's going to keep His promise to you or not. He hasn't shown up in all these thousands of years. It says, "But is patient towards you." God's slowness is because of His mercy and compassion, and because He's patient toward giving everyone the opportunity for salvation. It says He's not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. So the living God is the only one who can satisfy. Psalms 42, 1-2 says, "As the deer pants for the water, brooks, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God?" Therefore, reverent women maintain this passion for God through the disciples of godliness. Mature women in Christ do not become conformed to His image by accident. It's intentional. They seek Him out. They put Him first and they love Him. They're intentional about their time with God in prayer and in the Word. Old age is common, of course, to both males and females, but the three particular problems mentioned in the verse concerning older women, starting with the first one, is behavior, then the sins of the tongue, and then alcoholism. Let's see, we're getting pretty close here to close. I think I'm going to stop here, and we're going to pick these up whenever we come back Thursday, because we're going to go into detail on all those points of this verse. But I just want to say that as older women who start to feel like they may not be as beautiful, they may not have any worth, they don't have the job of taking care of the children, they don't have the things that they had before, maybe their success and their life hasn't been exactly the things that they expected to have by the time that they got to an older age. But the one thing that a godly woman can present is the knowledge of the Word of God. And like the verse said, it's like a crown. The gray hair is like a crown that she wears because of her wisdom. The fact that she can actually teach those about God that don't know about God. So we'll come back to that on Thursday. But for now, let's go to the Lord in prayer and close out for tonight. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, as we take a look at the characteristics of women and the way that Paul instructed Titus here about the good things and the bad things of an older man and now an older woman. Father, there are certain characteristics that we recognize because of our age, and there are also characteristics that we look at that are glories that you give us, Father. You give us blessings because of our interest in putting you first, and because we learn about your word. And it's the blessings that you give us because we share and teach those things that we've learned. Father, I pray for the women in our lives, Father, that they would be this type of woman, that they would be a mature woman that would actually share with the whole family, Father, that would tell them everything that they know about you and how they put you first and how they live their life as a godly woman. Father, reverent in their behavior and looking past youth, but looking forward to the hope they have in eternity with you. Father, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.